big epiphany for me is something I had to hear other people say. Most agents, especially new agents, operate from a basis of fear, not of an attitude of abundance. They have the fear of the transaction, the fear of moving forward, the fear of what could happen. The number one thing I've seen that removes fear and uncertainty and doubt is a support system.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Michael Lidicote is not your typical real estate agent with experience in various areas such as professional and economic development, telecommunication sales, SaaS product development, and real estate. His credibility is something to admire. Michael runs the Fixated on Real Estate Yakima Meetup, and he's also the podcast host of Dissecting the Deal. In this episode, Michael will share how commissions are earned for your clients to stick with you.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is the real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Facebook Live. I'm Dan Roshan, joined with Michael Lidicote. Today, we're going to talk about dissecting the deal for real estate agents. And so Michael is a wealth of knowledge. He's been selling homes for the last 5 years. He has a background in teaching, professional development, telecommunication sales, project management, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And Michael comes from the coolest named city in the world, in Washington State. You want to tell us the name of that city, Michael?
Oh, it's Yakima, Washington. But the other one that's a lot of fun is Walla Walla.
Yakima, just north of Walla Walla.
That's right.
For you Looney Tunes fans out there, you're going to enjoy this show today. So Michael, so thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a very unconventional real estate agent in that when I graduated from college, I got my K-8 certification and I thought I was going to have my Mr. Holland's Opus moment. Like I really did. I thought I was going to be an educator for 30 years. I was going to marry another educator and that was the income I was going to have and live off of. And the state of Washington decided, hey, remember those big investments we made into reducing classroom size with dollars and funding? Yeah, we don't have that money anymore. So most of you in the last 3 or 4 years that graduated are going to need to find another job. So I kind of had entrepreneurism and, you know, development and other stuff thrust upon me. My venture into real estate was actually because my parents owned a development group and a project management group, and they helped develop, I think it's a 120-acre property for a sports complex out here. And they saw the size of the commission check that went to the real estate agent, and they said, that should really stay in the family. Like, if we're going to do all the legwork to make that happen, that should have been somebody we know that got that check. So I went and in 2 weeks passed the test here in Washington State, got my license, started walking around showing people homes. And I realized that I didn't like showing homes at 7 a.m. on Sundays. That was not, you know, my bag of just having strangers call me and want to go. And this was early enough in the market right before things peaked where people were still had those old habits of like, oh, that room's pink. I don't think we should buy the house. You know, or, well, let's wait on it for a few days and see what happens and goes on. And so in real estate, I then went from, you know, doing a lot of residential in that sort of like just waiting as a buyer's agent for business to come in to saying, well, what can I do different? How can I be different? What can I do? Discovered bigger pockets, discovered investment real estate, got into commercial real estate, and then also came up with my philosophy that I want to share with your audience about earning my commission, you know, educate, advocate, refer, and network or negotiate on people's behalf in order to help them as a buyer get what they're looking for.
So you started Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. You said, I'm not so interested in this. And then you evolved into doing more investment, you know, more, I guess you met investors on bigger pockets. Is that what you
started
did?
With
you
tell investors?
Us-
Oh, yeah. So started with investors on BiggerPockets, just found the online forums, started looking for something. I mean, my first 2 weeks of BiggerPockets experience was just using that online calculator, plugging in every MLS deal I could find and figuring out what it meant to have a 50-50 cash flow. What did it mean for a 1% rule? You know, what is cap rate? How does that factor in? All that stuff. Okay. Then went out and introduced myself to the local community that I knew and just telling people like, hey, I'm into this investment real estate stuff. You know, if you're looking for somebody to help build deals and put stuff together, I would like to be the guy to help you do that. And okay. Then from there, built my own real estate meetup that was meeting pre-COVID once a month. And then when COVID hit, we had been meeting for over 2 years. And so transitioned that into a podcast so that I could still keep in touch with people and share success stories, keep everybody motivated about what was happening. And that's where Dissecting the Deal came from.
And so you took your meetup that had been going for 2 years, you pivoted with the circumstance of the pandemic, and you transitioned that into a podcast.
Correct.
Got it. And so I just want to take a step back before we get into the dissecting of the deal. So through that transition, you know, what have you learned?
Okay. So what I've learned, the big epiphany for me is something I had to hear other people say, because the challenge for us as agents, right, is that we don't really interact with a lot of other agents unless they're on the other side of the table. Like, you know, they may be in your team, they may be in your office, but you don't really know how other people interact with stuff. So the feedback I was getting from a lot of people when I sat down with them and preloaded them with the knowledge on, hey, as your agent, my job is to educate for you on what's happening, be your advocate in this process, refer you out if I don't know the answers to questions, and then negotiate on your behalf. I found that there were so many people going like, man, I've never had an agent talk to me that way. I don't have any, you know, my agent in that. Would you be willing to work with me? And in fact, I mean, it still happens today. Yesterday I was talking with a friend and he told me he and his wife were, you know, putting in on a house. I said, well, it's a shame you guys didn't ask me for help, but how's that going? And they're like, well, man, we've got 15 offers, you know, coming in. We're not competitive. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about the four things your agent should be doing to make you competitive. You know, are you putting in an introduction letter? Are you offering higher than everybody else for your earnest money? You know, are you just going through these things? He's like, no, she hasn't talked to us about any of that sort of stuff. I was like, okay, well, you go ask her to do that stuff for you. And if you need help, just give me a call. If you're not under contract with her for single representation, I'd be happy to help you guys with the same thing, because I've got access to the same listings she does. And that's how easy it is.
Okay. So walk us through dissecting the deal. So it seems, Michael, that you're following a process. Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct. So great. Whenever I meet anybody that is a first time interaction with me and we're talking about doing business, it usually goes one of two ways. One, we sit down for a coffee, or now it's over Zoom or over the phone, or two, I meet them at a property. And so in that process, I start talking to them and I first ask them, why are you even talking to me? What's going on? What are you looking for? What are you trying to do? With most of my clients today, it's either, you know, we're trying to build wealth, we're trying to build partnerships, we want to do something, and a few people that are still using me for home buying. And I say, great, all that sounds good. I think I could help you. But before we go down this process and start this, I want you to understand how I work for you. So let me start with this very simple question. Do you know how I get paid? And believe it or not, 50% of the people don't really understand how we as agents get paid. Yeah. You know, they just assume that it happens at closing. It's like, oh yeah, well, it comes out of our stuff and everything. And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of. So I explain a little bit about how it works. And then I launch into my process, which is explaining I get paid there, but how I earn that is by educating, advocating, referring, and negotiating on your behalf. So education, right? Most buyers gonna buy 3 to 5 properties in their lifetime. I'm doing 3 to 5 a month. I see more properties than you. I do more properties and transactions than you're going to do in your lifetime. That's just the way it goes. So I'm going to tell you what happens, how it works, what the process is. Ask me questions. Never be afraid to ask questions, because if you don't ask a question, I can't give you an answer. And I don't want you to feel like I'm not communicating with you or sharing information. Advocate. Advocate is really tough for agents to understand and learn, but I think of it this way. I'm always going to tell you every option, and then I'm going to tell you the pros and cons of every option. So most people probably in your neck of the woods, are inspections, you know, still a hot topic item? Is anybody doing negotiations during the inspection process?
Not a lot today.
Yeah. It's usually life and safety, right? Like If it would come up on an appraisal, that's the thing we can negotiate for. So the example with one couple I'm working with right now is great. You have a $1,000 item to-do list. So let's talk about what that means. You can, you know, either ask for those things to come off. You can come off the purchase price, you can ask for a credit at the end, or you can just accept them and we can move on. Here's the pros and cons of each of those. The con is that you can ask for that and they may drop our offer. You know, they may go with somebody else because another person isn't going to ask them for $1,000. And in this market, $1,000 is real money and they don't have to give it up. So they might not. So that's now your choice. And so I always present it in that way of here's the thing that's going to happen. Let's talk about the pros of what could happen. Let's talk about the cons of what could happen. But you guys need to make the choice. And the reason you need to make the choice is because I'm advocating for you, not because it's my house, but it's because it's your house. And you have to live with the decision after this is done. I get to go on. Like, I get to go on and do other stuff. We're going to go do other transactions together. But you have to live with the consequences of making this decision. So I want you to be as informed as possible, which leads me to referrals. If I don't know the answer to a question, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a roofer. I'm not an HVAC guy. Like, I know enough to be dangerous, but you definitely shouldn't trust me on a bid on what it takes to do things. So I'm going to give you the names of three people. I want you to go ask each of those three people three questions. Why should we do business with you? What makes you stand out from your competition? And can you give us a referral to somebody who's used you in the past? If they ask those three questions of those people, they then can make an informed choice about who they should use. And it's not just a, oh yeah, go call Mike, he's great. It's now them making the decision. Because the last thing I want to have happen as I'm building these long-term relationships, people that are turning into long-term commitments and investors, is for them to feel like, Michael told us to call this guy, it didn't work out, Michael's unreliable. No, 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 Michael gave you three options. If you don't like the three options, let's go get three more. But I never want you to pick the first person you have an interaction with. I want you to be informed about what's going on so you make the good choice. Because again, I don't have to live with it. And then the last thing in my system is negotiation. You know, it is the headspace game, right? It is how am I going to place you as the optimal buyer or the optimal seller in the MLS? How am I going to find a way to get you not just in the top five, but make it so that your proposal is the top one, two, or three that they have to make a choice on? What am I going to do electronically in order to put that together for you, present it? What am I going to say or not say with the other agent in order to make sure that you are being protected and that we are getting you the thing that you told me you wanted? And that's where I bring back whatever it is they said at the beginning. Like, you know, we want to build generational wealth or whatever's going on. Okay, well, how am I going to use that in our negotiation to get you where you want to be? So when I'm dissecting a deal, Dan, I mean, that's what I do. I can just repeat to everybody, like, I am here every day earning that commission. And if I'm not doing one of those four things, I'm not building and strengthening that relationship so that I can go out and continue to grow my business.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution. And you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. And I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
How do you find business today?
So my primary way of getting business today is actually referral. So I didn't go all in on I guess 5 years ago, it was all internet leads was everything that I was getting. It was 100% internet leads that were coming in. It was a lot of Zillow stuff and some Facebook stuff as well. I've been fortunate that now I can be a little bit more picky and I've built some relationships to have consistent people coming back to me. Because we built in either burr strategies or we built in other ways for them to start, you know, really dominoing that effect to find the next property. And so on the investment side, on the recurring side, it's mostly people that I have been referred to by people that have done business with me. And there's a couple of people finding me on BiggerPockets or finding me through my websites and other sorts of stuff. But that's the primary way that I'm getting business today there.
How would you describe like your ideal client today? Are they buy and hold? Are they buying like 1 or 2 residentials? Are they doing big commercial deals? Describe to me who do you typically work with?
It depends on the market that they want to work with me in. So my ideal customer in Yakima is going to be a buy and hold. And it's because there's no other strategy that works in that market, unless you're in development. So if you're looking for development in Yakima, I'd love to talk with you because I've got about 20 acres I can identify that we can go and build something on. So there's that side of it. In other markets that I'm in, flip is still very viable. And so is a little bit of development and some buy and hold, some lease option, other sorts of things that people are doing. Not many wholesalers are in contact with me anymore. And that's primarily because they become their own flippers. Their buyers have kind of disappeared. The ideal one for me, though, is somebody that is still within their first five deals. So somebody that has done one, maybe it was their education house, right? Like it was the property that took them to school and they just learned a whole, and they're like, boy, I don't know if I could ever do that again. And they're looking to systematize. They're looking to figure out, they're still building their team and trying to figure out how to do things more efficiently and better. Those are the people that I get along really well with because of my philosophy of educating, like just being honest with like, okay, well, you've done your first three. Have you thought about this asset class? Are you considering Airbnb? Are you looking at VRBOs? Why not? Why doesn't that fit with your investment strategy? And then building the relationship from there.
So it sounds to me like you want somebody that understands the pain or maybe has experienced a little bit of the challenges, as we know that, you know, investors will often experience, and understand and value the guidance even more so of what you're being able to share with them. Because, you know, doing it on your own could be, if that's not your full-time gig, doing real estate investing on your own could be a challenge. Am I understanding you correctly?
Correct. And the reason I said one to five deals is the perfect for me is because at my meetups, over 50% of the people that attend have never done a transaction before. And in the 2 years I've run it, most of those 50% still have not done a transaction yet.
So you got a lot of just like wannabe.
Well, it's not just, even wannabe. It's just that fear, right? They have the fear of the transaction, the fear of moving forward, the fear of what could happen. But those that have, and we've been able to build a relationship and work on stuff together, I mean, they jump off the deep end. You know, they're doing three, four at a time now, and they've got systems and processes in place, and it's awesome.
What do you think? Have you seen people that have come to your meetups, for example, or listeners of your podcast that were stuck and had that fear, and then something triggered them to get past that fear? Have you had that experience?
Yes. So the number one thing I've seen that removes fear and uncertainty and doubt is a support system. So the people that I have interacted with that are lone wolfing it, like they're not telling their spouse or their partner is very poo-poo-y of it or that sort of stuff. Those are the people I constantly see waiting on the sidelines. They're almost waiting for permission from somebody else to go ahead and do this. But if I can get that person and I can get them to a meetup, and I can get them interacting with other investors, and then I can get whatever it is their fear is, whether it's the partner says that they can't do it, whether it is that they feel like they don't have a contractor that they could bring in at the last second, whatever we can do to connect them to say, no, you do have a team. And your team is everybody in this room, because believe it or not, investors are some of the kindest, warmest, most open people I've ever interacted with. And they will all share knowledge. They might not tell you the deal they're working on that day, but they all were in your shoes and they all want to see you be successful. And so if I can connect them into that network and plug them in and they establish some friendships, they're probably 3 to 4 times more likely to pull the trigger on something and do it.
I think that's a descriptive of just successful people. Well, I mean, if you look at successful real estate agents, for example, they are more than likely going to be very willing to be able to share what they've learned. I don't know if it's like a, you know, chicken and egg type concept. It's almost like, I think that trait and quality is the trait and quality that helps you to be successful. It's just giving first. And so I think that's true of almost any successful person, whether it's an investor, real estate agent, or different business owner. Would you agree with that?
I would. The phrase that it was taught to me was attitude of abundance.
Yeah.
You know, I have nothing to be afraid of. And that's why I'm here sharing like my plan of, you know, educate, advocate, refer, and network or negotiate, is because I know that I can execute that better than anybody else. And if you were to take some of it, even 5% of it, and go make your business better, that's great. But you're not going to execute it the way I am going to execute it. So what do I care? You know, what am I worried about in my market about people doing the things that I do? It's going to make me better. And today, there's no other agents running meetups in my market. There's no other agents that are doing podcasts with investors in my market. There's no other agents, you know, being asked by, you know, Dan to come on their show and talk about their experiences and stuff. So when people eventually find out about that, my name's already going to be an establishment there. So why wouldn't I share? And why wouldn't I tell other people about what works? Because eventually my goal, Dan, you know, we're talking about building, you know, longitude predictable income community, is I do want a team. You know, I want a team underneath me. And in order to do that, I've got to establish great habits, routines, and processes that are teachable to somebody else so that they can go out and replicate what I'm doing, because I want them to be on my team. I want them working with me, not against me. And to be brutally honest, if everybody talked to their clients the way that I did, I know that transactions would go smoother. I know that you and I, when we did a transaction, it would be way easier once we got through the negotiation phase, because I know that your people are just as educated as my people are.
I was talking to the broker that runs the office that I'm affiliated with this morning, and she was sharing with me of her challenges over the last, this is a really competitive marketplace right now, and the pandemic is still around, and you know, you've got a lot of agents right now, they're just sort of going at each other's throat. She was sharing with me that, she didn't get into the specifics, but she shared with me that she's in the last week, she's had to deal with three or four times of agents almost actually getting physically into altercations because they're not, I mean, clearly respect, you know, clearly there's at least one person in that situation that is not being a professional when you have.
Right. And the challenge there, right, is that the vast culture here in America treats us as agents like commodities. You know, if you're not going to give me the deal, you know, then I'm just going to call up the listing agent and I'm going to go talk and I'm going to go work with them. So in my experience, most agents, especially new agents, operate from a basis of fear, not of an attitude of abundance, because they're afraid they're going to lose the deal. The deal is so precious, they want to hold on to it so tight that they become confrontational. They become agitated with other people.
So Michael, if you were 5 years ago and you're talking to yourself today, and you are, you know, sharing with that 5 year ago Michael to starting in real estate sales, what would you tell him?
I think the big thing for me that I would do is tell me to invest heavily in your own CRM. Make sure that every person you interact with winds up in that CRM. Make sure every conversation, every goal, everything that they have winds up in there. Because the great thing about real estate is we never know what opportunity is going to pop up in front of the market in front of us. So if I could have gone back to the people I was meeting from those Zillow leads and stuff that I was getting from my office for free, you know, if I had kept those in my own CRM, and at that time, you know, there were people that were looking for investments, they were looking for land and other sort of stuff. If I see that stuff come up, you know, being able to pick up the phone and say, hey, we spoke 2 years ago. You know, are you guys still looking? Are you still in it? I would already have agents under me because I would already have probably five times the email and phone book list that I've got now for business. But I didn't invest it until about 2 years ago. And so I let 3 years of business come through, and I only have the contact information for those people that actually did a transaction with me.
So the 2 years in your CRM, do you have a way to communicate with them in a systematic manner?
Yes. So free plug for anybody that's just looking to explore CRMs, if your brokerage doesn't already provide one, I chose HubSpot. One, because it easily integrated for free with Gmail. And two, it was free for me for the seats to just get up, start integrating. It captures all my email transactions. It captures my phone transactions. I don't have to pay for anything for it. And from there, I can then start setting up templates. I can set up drip campaigns. I can put in reminders for myself. I can plug in birth dates and other sorts of stuff. All of that stuff can be completely automated for me. And because I'm just one user, I'm not paying for anything in order to use that. And it does remind me about things to come up with people. And then it just gives me a daily to-do list. And if I stick to that daily to-do list, the things that I do, and then I check it off and say, great, now I'm going to follow up again in a week, or I'm going to follow up again in a month, that to-do list just becomes the way that I keep my business running and growing.
So what's the biggest challenge that you're facing specifically in your business today?
In my business today, it is inventory. It is 100% inventory, whether it's off-market inventory, whether it's on-market inventory. And that's why this year we've really made the push to go into development, is because we want to build the inventory instead of waiting around for it to come and find us. I gave the example of earlier wholesalers. Wholesalers are just seeing so much opportunity to buy people's homes for cashes, do the fix themselves, turn around and flip it and make great money on it. So that means a lot of my Burr buyers and my other investment buyers, you know, they're having to get into their own marketing to try and find stuff. But even them as investors, they'll tell me, like, I got five flyers this week from people looking to buy my investment property on me. So there's a lot of people looking to buy, and there's just not enough inventory, whether it's residential investments. Commercial's a little different, but that's a whole other beast.
Can you describe BRRRR buyers for our listeners?
Yeah. For those who don't know, sorry, because we always in real estate, we start using terms. We figured not everybody's on the same lingo as ours. So BRRRR stands for buy, renovate, rent, refi, repeat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a property. I'm going to buy it. I'm then going to renovate the interior of it and get it rented out. I'm going to go back to my bank, and then I'm going to have them refinance it, not at my purchase price, but at the new appraised value for that property. I then will get to pull out, if I did it right, I'll get to pull out more than I spent on the renovation, more than I spent to purchase the property, and then I'll have enough, I've grown my war chest to go tackle the next property that I want to go and buy. And so this is a buy and hold strategy where I want to have a tenant in there to continue paying down the mortgage, hopefully generating some monthly revenue for me as well to build a portfolio of properties that eventually allow me to leave my W-2 and become a full-time investor.
Yeah, that's a fantastic strategy that I recommend for anybody that's intended to build wealth.
You already know, 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way. And it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
How do you heard of BRRRR? The A is advertise. And so there's a great post on Bigger Pockets about it. It was a tax guy. So always consult your own tax consultant, because as you guys have heard, I am not good at roofs, HVAC, or taxes. The A for advertise is that if you advertise the property while you are doing the renovations on the property, it no longer counts as a capital expense, and you can use it as an operational expense for tax purposes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
You think about that, because I'm no longer making this. I was advertising the property, waiting for a tenant to come. And so because I was waiting, I decided to do my renovation on it. And so now I get to take those not as the capital, but as the operational expense for the business in order to refresh and redo the property.
Yeah. And I think it's smart for investors to have a CPA that can 100%. Be knowledgeable about those types of strategies, because as a layman, you know, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities in regards to the way that structure your taxes. My CPA, he says that he sets you up to pay the lowest legal tax. And I like that philosophy, you know, so it's the strategies or the rules with the taxes are certainly complicated, and there's opportunity in there to be able to pay less tax. And, you know, that's something that you might want to consider as an investor.
Oh, yeah. Well, once you get past your first five, right? I mean, you should always be planning on your first one. But all of a sudden, when you start to exponentially grow, or you start the domino effect, the taxes from every investor I've talked to, they're the thing like, man, I did not plan on getting good at this. And it's been the thing that I've had to do in order to keep my business growing.
Michael, what specific failure have you learned the most from?
The failure I learned the most from specifically probably... I mean, it was probably me that what set me down this path, right? Like initially I wanted to be in public education. I wanted to be a public servant. And then realizing that at any moment, that pension, that guarantee of employment can be taken away from you. So if I don't want to be at the subject of other people's whims, or even of the subject of a state's whims on what they want to do, then I need to grow and build independence. And for me today, that independence looks like a real estate business where I am continually growing and making new people, new connections, and helping them succeed so that I've got consistent business going down the road that is not dependent upon what an algorithm is willing to put in front of somebody, or what traffic is willing to do. It's based on me and my capabilities and the people that believe the reputation I built.
So it's about taking charge of your own destiny and having faith within yourself rather than being at the whims of somebody else's, as an employee, for example, as a teacher, for example. That may seem safe for some, and I respect that. It also may seem dangerous for some. For me, I see more safety as being an entrepreneur than I do as being an employee, because I have 100% control of my destiny. You know, now there's circumstance, there's there's things that can impact that that aren't planned. Yet at least if a pandemic strikes us, at least I'm in control of what I do about it. And I'm not necessarily worried about my company laying me off. Would you agree with that?
I would, because if you have to worry as a real estate agent about your laying yourself off, then I don't know that you were the best employee to begin with. But one of the things that they talk about, there's a great community out there for anybody that's interested. It's the Flipped Lifestyle community or something like that. They're all about websites and, you know, building wealth through websites and that sort of stuff. But what's great about their philosophy really is that idea that every month you should be working towards giving yourself a raise. And you can't do that in other jobs, you know, with a rare exception of some sales and commission stuff. But in real estate, even if you're an investor, even if you're an agent, what did you do today that you could potentially have given yourself a raise for? And there's no other job where you can do that. There's no other entrepreneur that can say, well, I did these activities today, and you know, that's going to lead to me getting an increase in revenue.
So Michael, so you do a podcast. What's the name of your show?
Dissecting the Deal.
Dissecting the Deal. And if I was looking to get more information about you, about your EARN philosophy, about dissecting the deal, how do I find you?
Dissectingthedeal.com. That's where you can go and listen to previous episodes. We're available on all of the major streaming services. That'll also lead you to our Facebook community where you can connect with other people. The goal of that podcast and that stuff is to focus specifically on motivating and helping people that want to get into investments. The episodes really are just a conversation with me and another investor. How did you find the deal? How did you make it work? What happened? What pitfalls did you hit? What did you learn? And the goal is to try and encourage other people to say, oh, okay, other people can do this. Let's break down the mechanics of how to do it, because I know not everybody thinks like me, but that's how I work is if I enter the mechanics of something, it's more likely I'm going to be able to replicate that and make it happen for me.
So you're giving investors a roadmap by following investors who have already had success and then sharing, here's the pathway, go.
Exactly. I mean, I think our first episode, we talked with a guy who he went through like strategy A didn't work, B didn't work, C didn't work, D didn't work. I wound up in VRBOs for my properties. And that's all I do now because I found my niche, but I had to fail at the five other exit strategies in order to figure out what I was doing. And that's the kind of epiphanies I think people need to hear. They need to hear that like, oh, entrepreneurism is the story of success because of failure, not instant success.
Yeah, I think others just look at the tip of the iceberg and don't understand everything that goes underneath the water there of struggle. Yeah. They just look at the perceived success at the top.
So, exactly.
Michael, thank you very much for taking the time to join me today. If you're a listener or viewer, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, tune in to the Consistent Predictable Income podcast that you can also find on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to shows. So thank you again, Michael, and to your success.
Thanks, Dan.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership at the Consistent and Predictable Income Community on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
This is Mitch Steven. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing Dan Roshan.
Dan is a top team leader in the DC area with Keller Williams. And he breaks down his journey. He's somebody that, you know, struggled for the first 6 months like so many real estate agents do, and then something clicked.
He helped me tremendously, specifically with creating systems in place.
It's very important to have a process in place that works not just for you, but for also the client.
If you are still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of
thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success.
If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.